you're here. Fellowship, freedom, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. Hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Wednesday, April 4th, 2018. Woohoo! Let's see, we're living
2018.
At least the snow's melted. Yesterday we experienced...
They say more's coming, though.
That's
possibly
what I heard. Maybe this weekend or some.
I don't know what's going on.
Well, we had Groundhog Day, a revisiting of a program we had taped on Monday. Nancy Brain was so gracious to receive my call yesterday morning, and we kind of rehashed some of the things we talked about. The goal was on Monday to tape a conversation, and then when I did the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends, I would say, now yesterday we had a conversation with Nancy Brain, and here's what we had to say and share, and Marianne was a part of that. Well, lo and behold, you know this has happened one time with when we taped something, that a hiccup happened, the computer got shut down, you lost all the audio, and so anyways, we had like that groundhog experience where we kind of relived the program again. But yeah, today, you know, with all the rain we're getting, you know, potential flooding in some areas. I always watch the Sangamon River. It's right around the bank level. Some of the areas around us are starting to flood. It's like, okay, well, you know, thank you, God. Skip showed up a couple of years ago and built that little mound in the house.
Yeah, moved that dirt.
Yeah. So all's well. You know, the Prime Life Times, the April edition, is out and about in a lot of areas, and we have some new volunteers helping be those distribution people, those paper boys or paper persons. Nowadays, we'd reference them.
Paper persons.
Yeah, so we're making inroads towards Watsika and Cisna Park and north, and then we're making inroads south. Yoders has been going through a lot of these papers and trying to find some new avenues near Atwood and the south area of our listenership. And yeah, this was the first edition I briefly showed you where we have Section B, so we've been mentioning that. We're so excited to include our own first section besides the main content in the first 11 to 20 or so pages. So, yeah, the Prime Life Times, we're seeing how God uses it, introducing people to the station and to some good, healthy content. It's a free paper. If you haven't heard about it, listen in the coming days. You'll hear more about it. But this is our sixth month of printing it and producing it and having many new content contributors. These are people that write stories, whether it's like about lifestyle or finance or family or raising children or different topics that will be of interest or fun. Even Larry Stevens, he has a new thing called the Front Row Seat, and so he's featuring a movie from the past, something maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, but a movie that's worth watching. And so, yeah, a lot of different. We're featuring restaurants each month and a lot of different things that we hope will be profitable. Our theme is to be informative, engaging, and positive, targeting those 50 and older. And some have asked, but Mark, newspapers are dying. Nobody's reading newspapers anymore. Yeah, for the most part, that's somewhat true. But those that are 50 and older still like to hold it, read it, turn the pages. And our content is driven to meet that audience, to meet those readers. And so we feel like this is still very viable. And we have a lot of advertisers that feel they must be getting something out of it because they're selling their product or their service. And so if you want to advertise in the Prime Life Times, hey, give me a call. We can always talk about the unique market that we're serving and how it maybe can be something very advantageous for you and your service or your business or your products. So Prime Life Times, pick it up at an area location near you. And if you stop by the website, primelifetimes.com, I think we have over 150 locations listed by city. So whether it's Atwood or Champaign or Urbana or Watsika, you can find, oh, it's at the IGA, it's at the Walmart, it's at this location. They're free. So we invite you to pick up a copy, maybe one for your neighbor, and introduce them to the Prime Life Times, which we ultimately hope introduce them to the station or to the message, the Easter message that you just so readily appreciated and preached, the good news message of Jesus. And so we reference the radio station through different articles or through a little ad, or you know, it's just a message that Joey Kroll or Kathleen Jennings or one of the testimonies that's given in the paper that'll be God-honoring and hopefully drive them to find out more about who God is and how to have a relationship through the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's part of our goal in getting this paper into so many different locations that people that maybe aren't necessarily necessarily churchgoers or connected with any Christian fellowship will start reading. And however God does that, that's always that mystery, brings conviction or hope or an interest to find out more. Mm-hmm. And so hopefully we can direct them towards the station, towards a good Bible-believing church, and God will continue to always have his way and maybe use this as a means or a mechanism. So be praying up the Prime Life Times, and as you pick up a copy, you know, pass it on to a friend, and hopefully you'll find something interesting or an advertiser that, oh, that's a great service that I've needed or been looking mm-hmm. for, and through one of the ads, you'll make a connection, and it'll all work out great. So PrimeLifeTimes.com. Well, I don't know if you're officially in the prime of your life. I guess you're probably, I don't know, what is the prime of our lives? Is it when we're early on?
I don't think I am. Yeah. I don't think I am.
You haven't reached it yet.
No. I'm a young buck. Yeah. I'm still the prime life. I think we're always in the prime. I don't know. That's an interesting question. I think it's how you feel. Well, I don't know. Is it how you feel? Is there a numerical place where you're in the prime of your life? I think it's all perspective. Right. So I think the prime of your life could be at any stage of your life. It's all about your perspective and what you allow, you know, how you allow the world to impact you and things around you to impact you and those kinds of things. So I don't know.
What's a prime time message for us in this post-resurrection Sunday time of life?
Well, I think that maybe you just actually hit the nail on the head with that statement, which I would love to. I spent Sunday morning on Easter morning, and I spent the week before, I spent different points trying to correct that very message, because we live post-resurrection Sunday, but we do not live post-resurrection. We live in light of the power of the resurrection. The great hymn, How Deep the Father's Love Is, says, you know, I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection. What should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, his wounds have paid my ransom. You know, what the hymn writer does at the end is he uses the same vehicle that the Apostle Paul loves to use, and that is to talk about the crucifixion, because you cannot talk about the crucifixion without talking about the life of Jesus Christ, the resurrection, that Jesus rose triumphantly and victoriously from the grave. And so every death leads to a resurrection. That's why the Apostle Paul continually refers to the crucifixion. You would say, why does he just talk about the resurrection? Because he needs to let you know that Christ died for your sins. Romans 5:8, that while we were still sinners, God demonstrates his love while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. And so it's important to know what God took upon himself and what he gave that we might live. And so then out of that, we need to live in light of that. I love how Charles Spurgeon says, upon a life I did not live, upon a death I did not die, I risk my whole eternity, and the resurrection is the why. That we live in the power of the resurrection. We live in light of the resurrection. Therefore, what can the world do to us? I mean, I think that that's why, when you think about the Apostle Paul was an absolutely frustrating individual. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you were on the side of unbelief, if you were on the side of denying who Jesus Christ was, the Apostle Paul was absolutely frustrating, because you would say, well, I'm going to lock you up in jail. And the Apostle Paul would say, okay, well, I'll convert all the guards and I'll sing hymns at midnight with Silas. No, well, we're just going to beat you. Well, I don't consider the afflictions in this time to surpass the glory that is to come in Christ. Well, we're going to kill you. Well, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Mm-hmm. I mean, there was nothing you could do to the Apostle Paul that could take away from him what had been given to him already, what had been accomplished. We see that readily when he stands in front of King Agrippa, and King Agrippa says, oh, Paul, you know, Paul shares his testimony. He goes, oh, Paul, you almost made me a Christian. And Paul goes, well, you know, I'm going to keep praying for you. By the way, I'm in these chains, but I'm the freest man in the room.
Yeah.
And so the Apostle Paul didn't see his circumstances in any way to deny the reality that he lived in. And the reality that he lived in was the resurrection, the power of the resurrection. And so one of the things that I don't want to say been passionate about, but it's really been something that's been convicting to me is, how are we living in light of that? I mean, are we living Easter every day? Or do we just arrive at Resurrection Sunday and we get excited? I told the folks at church on Sunday morning, I said, do you feel this thing this morning. You know, and people are like, you know, I mean, it was like all the, it was like we had, I don't know, it's like we had juiced up the coffee or something. Because, I mean, people were like, they were excited. I mean, it's Resurrection Sunday. They're excited. Amen. He has risen. Risen indeed. I mean, people were like amped up. And I'm like, do you feel the energy in the room? Yeah. Woo. Amen. Amen. It should be like this all year long.
Right.
This should not be just this Sunday. Now, yes, Resurrection Sunday is a powerful reminder of what God has done and what God continues to do. And we need those waypoints in our year to remind us of who God is, just as the feasts and festivals reminded the Jewish people and continue to remind the Jewish people of things that God had done throughout redemptive history on their behalf. And so those are good, right, and wonderful. But they're there that we would live in light of that all year long. It's unfortunate that we have to have Yom Kippur, 10 days of repentance, because we're not repenting every day. Yeah. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying that they're not doing that, but I'm also saying that, you know, why do we have to have that? These are parts, should be a part of our life every single day, as should the resurrection. We should live in the light and the power of the resurrection.
Well, I think the key word you began our morning program with was having that perspective. It's all about perspective and living in that perspective, that reality. It's not even just having a perspective, because some people have poor perspectives or diminished perspectives on this or whatever. The ultimate truth was Jesus Christ did rise from the dead. Yeah. He's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty, interceding on our behalf. That's what's happening even this very day.
Exactly. Right now, it was great. You know, the Saturday night at about 10:20, I caught up on Facebook that they were live streaming the sunrise service at the Garden Tomb in Jerusalem. Mm-hmm. And so I watched it, and Stephen, who is the, we've met him before when we were there. Stephen, who is the head, he oversees the Garden Tomb. He made this great statement. You know, he's standing in front of the door of the Garden Tomb, and he says, we can look in the tomb. The tomb is empty. He has risen indeed. We go in the tomb. He is not there. He has risen indeed. But because he has risen, he is here. Mm-hmm. He is right here, right now, because he is alive. And so we need to know that. And how could that be such a game changer for you in your day? If you live in light of the resurrection, you say, Jesus is alive. He's here right now. It'll cause you to be bold in a way that you might not be bold any other time. The message that I preached on Easter Sunday came out of Acts chapter 4. And I love in Acts chapter 1, Jesus has come amongst the disciples and he has spent 40 days. And he has told them about the fullness of the kingdom of God. And then he ascends to heaven. In Acts chapter 2, he sends his Holy Spirit, and all the believers, where 3,000 people come to faith, and all the believers are together and in one place, and they share everything, and God is adding to their numbers every day. And then they go to the, you know, they go to the gate beautiful, and the man is begging there, and, you know, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have is the Lord Jesus Christ. Get up and walk. And the man gets up and he walks. The man who was once lame gets up and he walks, and immediately the people are like, whoa, you guys are awesome. And Peter and John are like, no, we're not awesome. God is awesome. He was the one who just did this. And certainly we segue into Acts chapter 4 that incites the religious people to get all mad, because religious people don't like when God does things, because religious people think it's religious people who are going to do things. They don't realize that we submit in humble humility to God. And so Peter and John come up and they say, look, you can't talk about Jesus anymore. And they say, well, you know, I mean, that's really for God to judge, because we need to follow God. And then they don't know what to do. They send them away. They bring Peter and John back in. They say, look, you guys are uneducated and you guys are absolutely common, but we get the feeling you've been with Jesus. That's what the text says. The text says in there, they could tell that they had been with Jesus. Mm-hmm. So these are unbelieving people who are denying the reality of the resurrection and the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord, but cannot deny the fact that these men had been with Jesus. And so if you don't live in light of the resurrection, how will people know that you had been with Jesus, because he is a risen and resurrected Lord? Mm-hmm. Too many people are walking around and giving testimony that they serve a God who is still somehow dead. We don't. We serve a God who is living and breathing. He is active. He is at work. And therefore, that's what we give testimony and witness to. That is why people could say of us that we look as though we have spent time with Jesus. Why? Because we have. Because he's alive.
Yeah.
And so in that passage, Acts chapter 4, they keep hammering Peter and John. And finally they say, seeing no way, the text says, seeing no way that they could threaten them or get them to stop, they just had to let them go.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, listen, that's what I told you about Apostle Paul, wasn't it? That's how absolutely frustrating to the irreligious or the religious, the unbeliever, the atheist, that of somebody who spends time with Jesus and lives in the reality of the resurrection can be for them, because you can't do anything to them. You can't take anything from them. Oh, no, the sky is falling. Excellent. I've been waiting for the culmination of all things. When the sky falls and the earth comes together, there is no need for the light of the stars and the moon and the sun. Right? Amen. I mean, the economy is failing. Silver and gold I don't have, but the Lord Jesus Christ died. You know what I mean? I mean, you can't take anything away. I think that's why we have to grab a hold of the words in Philippians. We love to put them on coffee cups and t-shirts, and we love to recite them, but we don't really grab a hold of their meaning when the Apostle Paul says, I have learned. Learning means that you have gone through seasons where you had to actually live through it and learn from it. I have learned what it means to be in plenty and in want, in need, or being, you know. The Apostle Paul says, I learned all this. I've been through it, and through all of it, I've learned that Christ is the only thing that matters. Mm-hmm.
I think, again, like that perspective, having that truth seared maybe in your mind or heart, not just that you attend church or you give an offering or you do this, and so you've made your way to be credible before God. It's not about us again. It's about what we believe that the Lord did on our behalf, and then living in that, living in the reality. If, in fact, he did die, if, in fact, he rose from the dead for me to have a relationship with God, we should live in that beautiful knowledge.
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago, we were watching this movie, The Greatest Showman. It's all about Barnum, P.T. Barnum, as he started his circus. And so as we were watching it, I always, when we watch movies like that, I Google and want to get the facts. And there was a great quote that I read. P.T. Barnum wasn't only one of the greatest showmen ever, but he considered himself to be kind of a homespun theologian or philosopher. And he observed this once. He said that more people were deceived into believing too little than to believing too much. He said the danger today is that people will be deceived into believing nothing. And I really think that that is what's happening today in the world, that there is so much that we try and focus our attention on, that we will begin to take our belief and put it here and here and here and here and here, and pretty soon our belief is a mile wide and an inch thick.
Like diluted.
Yeah, totally diluted. And so I think that Ray Stedman has this great quote where he says that the Christian is like a diver dressed in a triple-walled diving suit with the greatest and most newest technology for plunging into the depths of the ocean, and we have endeavored to pull plugs out of bathtubs. You know, and I think it's because we don't live in light of the resurrection. We don't live in light of one thing. The Apostle Paul said, that one thing I do. He said, there's only one thing. He wrote to Timothy and said, I know whom I have believed upon, and he will deliver me to the day that has been entrusted to me. He said, that one thing, that's the only thing that matters. All the other things, it doesn't matter. Today I'm going to put up tents. Tomorrow I'm going to travel to Perga and Lystra and this, and I don't know if I'm going to be able to eat this day, and I don't know what's going to happen this day, and there's so much of what's going to happen I don't know. But you know what I do know? This is what I do know, and that's where I'm going to put all my chips. Some of you listening today got your chips spread all over the table. This is a poor gambling analogy.
Oh, yeah. And we don't advocate gambling.
I realize that. But some of you have got your chips spread all over the table. And this is going to prove that I know nothing about gambling either, by the way, this analogy. But you got your chips spread all over the table. You got them spread all over the table because you're trying to make safe bets everywhere, hoping somehow you might win in one or two areas, thereby winning in the whole somehow. The problem is, friends, is that you're only giving a little bit of yourself to every one of those. And what you need to do is to sweep your arms out and move all those chips onto that one square that says Jesus Christ and say, Jesus, I am all in. I am all in, whether in plenty or want, whether in abundance or scarcity, no matter what, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And by putting my chips all in that square, there are going to be some seasons where I'm going to need some serious strengthening because it's going to be hard. But I live in light of something that no one can explain, and that is that there was a man named Jesus Christ that at one day came out of the grave triumphantly and invited me to come in to see that it is empty. Indeed, he has risen, and it is empty just as he said it would be. And if that thing is true, then what else is true? That's the question I have for you today. If that is true, if you believe that's true, if you say that's true, then what else is true? Because you're going to start to find out that all the things he said are true. And friends, it's a glorious path to start down. It really is. But you're going to have to sweep that arm out, and you're going to have to put all those chips on that one square that says Jesus Christ in order to begin to walk that path, because some of you are playing life way too safe. And I know 12 guys in the Bible who will tell you that following Jesus is not safe, but it is good.
Now, for that person on their way to work today, Pastor Jason, or for that person that's just sitting and listening, what would be maybe one or two things? I'm thinking, you know, reading the Bible, being in a good Bible-believing church where the Word is preached, and they're relying on the Holy Spirit to inspire or convict or bring hope or a message to them. And obviously praying and seeking after God, Lord, where would you lead me today? Who would you have me speak to? But probably being familiar with His Word, devotional readings, anything else as we live in that resurrection spirit, being ever mindful that Jesus is alive with us today?
I think that probably you covered all the bases except for one. And that one base is the beginning of all of those other things, which is repentance, which is constantly getting on your knees before God and saying, "Oh, Lord, what a sinner am I. You know, Lord, I am going to fall short 100 different ways today. My mind is going to wander. My eyes are going to wander. My heart is going to falter. And I need the strength of your Spirit. I need you to be triumphant, because only you have been consistently triumphant. I have not on my own." And so I think that it begins with repentance. It must. Every day needs to be, need to wake up with this kind of, "Lord, today I'm yours. What do you want me to do?" You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13 that we're to put on Christ. And my wife and I were talking about this verse as we close, and she made this great thought. She said, you know, when you wake up at the beginning of the day, you dress appropriately for the task that you have during that day. Whatever it is. If you're going to paint, you put on painting clothes. If you're going to go to work, you wear on your work clothes. If you're going to play, you put on your play clothes. If you're going to exercise, you put on your exercise clothes. You dress appropriately for the task ahead for the day. So then, friends, why don't you put on Christ? Because the task that you have been given is good works, that you might walk in them. That's what the Bible says. And so when we wake up, the first thing we have to do is put on Christ, and then thereby putting on His life and His death and His resurrection. And then, friends, we get to work.
And all of God's people said, amen. Resurrection Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Pastor Jason Schiffel with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.